So we want to start with Matthew 1 and 21, just one verse. The thought that the Lord has given me the miracle birth of Jesus. When we look at how Jesus was born, and when we look at the prophecies that were in place that told of his birth and told of all the different things that would happen during around his birth, we have a great miracle. And this miracle, I want us to say, God, because of the miracle, we are able to partake of the wonders of salvation. If Jesus hadn't come, if God hadn't sent his son, we would still be groping in sin and darkness. But today, we can enjoy salvation because of Jesus. And before Jesus came, people were going year after year, having to repent of their sins. They would get saved, they would repent of their sins, then they go and they sin again and back and forth. But because of Jesus now, we don't have to live like that. We can be free and we can be saved and we can live a clean, pure life before God. So let's take us, go back in time, so to speak. We want to look at the scriptures that foretells of his birth, and we want to look at what actually happened during that time. Today, many people celebrate Christmas, but some of them don't really focus on Jesus. Some of them focus on Santa Claus and getting gifts and giving gifts, which is nothing wrong with giving gifts or getting gifts, but we need to recognize the reason for the season.
And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins.
So, that is the purpose. She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. That was the purpose of this dear little baby coming into the world, that we might be saved. And so we want to look at now 1 Peter 1 and read 18 to 20.
1 Peter 1, 18 to 20. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, for your vain conversation received by tradition from your father, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you.
So you see, God had a plan. And his plan for Jesus to come into the world and come like he did as a little baby, this plan was designed before the foundation of the world. The Lord knew what was going to happen to mankind. He knew. He gave him a choice, of course. Man had a will, and he could choose to do right or he could choose to do wrong. He wanted mankind to serve him out of their free will. He wanted us to obey him out of their free will. But you know what happened. When he left it that way, then man did not obey him and plunged all of us into sin. And that's why we were born in sin. In Psalms, I believe it says, I was born in sin and shapen in iniquity. This is the way we were born. But he knew what's going to happen. So before the foundation of the world, he had this plan for Jesus to come and die on the cross. And the specific aspects of his birth and life were foretold in the prophecies. And we're going to look at some of those prophecies before we actually look at what happened. And I want us, as we read those, to keep those in mind. So when we go into what really happened during his birth, we can remember that he foretold that. You know, he didn't leave himself without a witness. He foretold it, and then he had a witness right here when these things happened. Go to Daniel 2 and 44. You know, it's amazing when you read the prophecies and you see that he pinpointed even the city that Jesus was going to be born in. He even pinpointed the flight that Joseph had to take with them and how the Pharaoh was going to slay all the children. All of this was prophesied, and we'll read some of these prophecies. Daniel 2 and 44.
That in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever.
This in the days of these kings. What happened was Nebuchadnezzar had this dream, and it was the fall of different kingdoms and so forth. But then he prophesied, the Lord showed him back then that in this day, in that the day that he came, Jesus was going to come, and he was going to set up a kingdom that shall never be destroyed. And Jesus told the people, he told his disciples, my kingdom is not of this earth. They were expecting him to come and deliver them from the Roman rule. But that wasn't the kind of kingdom he had. He had an everlasting kingdom that would not be destroyed. And so we are being able to take advantage of this kingdom because of this wonderful plan that God had for us. Jeremiah 23 and 5.
Jeremiah 23 and 5. Behold, the days come, said the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth.
Okay, and this king that he's talking about is Jesus. He came to be that king, and his kingdom will last forever. Now let's go to Jeremiah 33 and read 14 and 15.
Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will perform that good thing which I have promised unto the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. In those days and at that time will I cause the branch of righteousness to grow up unto David, and he shall execute judgment and the righteousness of the land.
I think that's the same one you just read, right?
I don't know.
33? Are you reading 33 and 14?
I think so.
So it's the same. It's the same. Go, did you read 15? 14?
Yes.
Okay. Let's go then now to Isaiah 11 and 1.
Isaiah 11 and 1. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots.
You see, it even down to the lineage of David, it pinpointed what his lineage would be. And what in the other scripture, I think it mentioned David, it said Jesse, and that's fine. So Jesus was prophesied to come, and his kingdom was going to be an everlasting kingdom. And it was going to be a kingdom that is spiritual. See, they were looking for a literal kingdom, a king that's going to sit up on the throne and he's going to fight against the enemies and all of that. But that's not what God had in plan. He had a kingdom that would destroy the works of the devil. That's our enemies. That's the one he was here to destroy. Let's go to Micah 5:2. This tells of where his birth was going to be.
Micah 5:2?
Yeah.
But thou, Bethlehem, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting.
Yes. See, Jesus, the baby Jesus, was going to come from Bethlehem. It says going forth is from everlasting. He was, always was, and always will be. And yet he came as a baby for us. He gave it to us. God did this, but he prophesied in advance. So when, I'm getting a little ahead, but when the wise men came and Herod wanted to know where he was found, he asked the scribes. They went back into the law where God had prophesied even where he was going to be born. Let's go now to Isaiah 7:14. You know, when I was reading these, I was just really enjoying the fact that God was so, you know, he detailed all of this, what we sit and read and understand. He detailed it. He planned it out so perfect. And he put it in the prophets exactly what was going to happen. And it happened, just like he said. When the Lord says something, it's real. And it's going to happen, just like he said. Just like today, we see things that are happening. We see in the Bible some of those things that he foretold. The same with the birth of Christ. Just like he planned it, it happened. Just like he told the prophets, he did just that.
This is Isaiah 7:14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel.
He tells the detail of his birth. It's a virgin birth. This is not a normal thing that can happen in life. It has to be something that God does. It's not, and he did. Let's go to Isaiah 9:6-7. And so when we read these, all the happenings around his birth, we can rejoice and magnify the Lord, because we have such a mighty God that made such a wonderful, intricate plan for our salvation. That's what it boils down to. And so it makes us realize how important God, how magnificent God is, but also how he cared about us so much. He made this special plan for us. This scripture we're getting ready to read, he gave it to us. It's our gift.
For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Almighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this.
Notice this was prophecy. He will perform, and he did. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. See how he planned it, how wonderful it is. And it says, of his kingdom there'll be no end. See, kingdoms of this earth, they rise and fall. But this kingdom will not end. And we can partake of this wonderful gift, the best gift of all. You know, we might get some really good gifts from people, but you cannot get a gift better than this. And so it behooves us to appreciate the good gift God gave us and to hold on to this gift. When we give our heart to the Lord, let's don't turn it loose. Let's don't give it up. You know, if I get a good gift from somebody, do you think I want to just give it away? Or maybe just lay it around, you know, let something happen to it? No, I want to take good care of it. Well, the Lord has given this gift of his son that we might be saved. And when he saves us, we need to hold on to that until we leave this world and let nothing, nothing in this world be more important than that. So now let's go to Jeremiah 31 and 15. These two scriptures that we're getting ready to read refer to what happened when Herod got the news about the king.
Jeremiah what?
31:15. Thus saith the Lord, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping. Rahel weeping for her children refuses to be comforted for her children because they were not.
You know what that was? When Jesus was born and when the wise men came and they asked about him. Then Herod sought to kill him. But the angel told Joseph to take him out. Take him out of there. Take him to Egypt. So in this scripture, all of those babies he killed from age 2 and down, those women were weeping and they refused to be comforted because he had destroyed all of these children. And in the next scripture, Hosea 11 and 1, it tells about the flight where the angel told Joseph to go and take Mary and the babe to Egypt and stay there until he come, because Herod would try to destroy him. Somebody get Hosea 11 and 1.
But if Israel was a child, then I loved him and called him my son out of Egypt.
Yeah. So this is just a reference scripture to the fact that his child had to go to Egypt, and he called him back. Now let's go to Matthew 1:18.
Matthew 1:18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost.
Okay, so it started here. This is the way it started. And we want to read the account of Luke 1, 26 to 38. We want to read the account of the angel coming to Mary and proclaiming the fact that she was going to have a child and she was a virgin.
Luke what?
1:26-38.
And the sixth month the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast her in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, after that holy thing which shall be born of thee, shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is her sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her.
Do you see how what a miracle this was? She said, How can these things be? How can I have a baby? I know not a man. She and Joseph hadn't gotten married yet. But the Holy Ghost came upon her and overshadowed her. And she was able to conceive. And she had such great faith in God that she said, Be it unto me. Be it unto me. It's here, behold the handmaid. In other words, I'm the servant of the Lord. So be it unto me according to thy word. That was not the easiest thing as you might think it would be, because in those days she could have lost her life for the situation. But she trusted in God and she submitted to God. And he said, With God, nothing shall be impossible. So what a beautiful thought. And what a beautiful scene, how that God made all this plan and now it's being fulfilled. Do you know, I just want to kind of get away from this just a minute. When the Lord gives you a promise, stand on it. It may not look like anything possible to do, but he will do it. We must believe in him. And Mary believed in him. She just submitted. And so we need to learn to do that too. Even today, let's learn to submit to God. When he says, this is going to happen, or I want you to do this, let's trust him and know that his way is best. I just got so much blessing out of reading this and thinking of how God did it, but also how that Mary was such a willing vessel. And we can be a willing vessel as well. Now, I told you, this wasn't the easiest thing. And when we think about Joseph and what he went through, he was, when he found out she was with child, then he had a mind to put her away. Let's read that account. It's Matthew 1:19-24. But the angel came and witnessed to him. God did not leave himself without a witness. He witnessed to Mary, and now he's witnessing to Joseph.
Matthew 1:19. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin.
So he went on, and he decided he would do it. You read to 24?
Oh, now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife.
That's right. And knew her not till she had conceived.
And knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus.
Amen. So, when we look at this plan and we see how beautifully it panned out and God worked it out and how he had witnesses, we also think of the shepherds. This wasn't done in a corner, so to speak. He wanted this proclaimed. This great salvation was just beginning for us. The shepherds in Luke 2:1. Who want to read that?
Luke 2:1.
Mm-hmm. We're going to read a lot.
In those days, that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed.
It's a lot of reading on this one. So keep reading.
And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. Tell me when to stop.
You're going all the way to 20, so you got a lot of reading.
Okay. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn.
Okay, so this is what happened. They of course, I don't need to repeat it. We can read it, but all of this was happening and the Lord sent angels to announce it to the shepherds. So it wasn't like, okay, they came here and nobody knows, just Mary and Joseph and the baby. But he intended for others to know and this to be proclaimed. And so we want to read on, starting in verse 8, where he announced through the angels, announced to the shepherds about the birth of Jesus.
And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.
Okay. So we know that Mary wrapped her babe in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger, and the angels pronounced to them, to the shepherds, the same thing. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Read 15.
And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds.
Did you notice that when they came, they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger? That is not a usual place for a baby to be. But God pronounced it, and he orchestrated it, and he provided it for us. You know, I think about that sometimes, about him lying in a manger. I kind of think of the significance of it. And the way I look at it, no person, no matter how poor they are, could feel that they weren't worthy of Christ, because Christ came in the lowest of state. Of all of us, most of us, if we have children, our babies, we got a bed, we got cover, we got things like that. Jesus is the only person I ever heard that was put in a manger. So you can't say, well, I'm too poor for God to accept me. Because we don't even have to go that far, that low. We can go, I don't care how low we are or how low our estate is, we can be accepted of Christ because he went the very lowest and came here as a baby. And not only when he was born, but through his life. One scripture he says, Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest to your soul. He was meek and lowly. He came lowly, and he is willing to reach out to us. You know, we don't have to put nobody, he doesn't put anybody aside. He doesn't look at somebody and say, oh, you're not good enough, or none of that. And we can't go as low as he. He went to the depths that we have never gone. So I thank the Lord for this great plan that he made, that every single person can be, have an opportunity to be accepted of him. So, I want to read a couple of more verses. And this is the wise men. Let's go to Matthew 2, verse 12. Verse 1 to 12.
Now Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea in the days of Herod the king. Behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born, king of the Jews? But we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes, the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, but thus it is written by the prophet, 'And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor, and that shall rule my people Israel.'" Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me word that I may come and worship him also." When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. How far do you want me to go?
Go down to 12.
And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way.
So we see how that another one of the prophecies were fulfilled here. And as we read on in this book, we realize that God sent an angel, talked to Joseph, told him to go to Egypt to save a little time. And he did. He said he would try to destroy the child. But let's go down now to verse 16.
Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and set forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and all the coast thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men.
17 and 18.
Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, "In Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted, because they were not."
So, when we look at all the prophecies, we see that all the prophecies were fulfilled in Jesus' birth. And if we read on, we'll find that it was also fulfilled through his life. And we can be able today to partake of this great miracle that happened at his birth. And we can relish it. I relish it. I count it something special. I don't take it lightly when it comes to God and for the salvation and the plan that he's given. Do you know what that does for us on a daily basis? It makes us careful. The things we say, the things we do, the thoughts we think. It makes us careful because he's given us something so wonderful we don't want to lose. Nothing in this world is more important to me than God and to live for him. And I believe that should be all of us because he made such a great sacrifice that we might be saved. He made an intricate plan for his son to come here and to give him to us as a wonderful gift. And the best thing we can do is to give our lives to him in return. Pray for me.